Okay, John chapter 15. We're going to start in verse 16. This is Jesus talking. Personally. Okay, take this personally. Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another." The point being is, we each one in here have been chosen, appointed, and anointed by God. All of us. Whether you want it or not, you're here for such a time as this. We've been chosen and appointed, and we can settle for just crawling up in our own little hole, our own little world, and decide, no, I ain't being a part. Well, you're going to be miserable if you're not a part. And I can testify to that. I've been in those times. Years ago, Kathy and I were some things had transpired, and I was very aggravated, and we moved. And it was an 18-month miserable mistake, John. And two people. Pastor friend of mine from over in East Texas, he calls me and Kathy one morning. He's coming through Mason, and he said, "What y'all doing?" He said, "Come meet me for breakfast." So we're visiting, and he said, "What are y'all fixing to do?" I said, "Well, we're moving to such and such." And he said, "Ain't God." I said, "I really don't care if it is or not." And he laughed. He didn't scold me. He just laughed and said, "Okay." A couple days later, I've got a load of panels on a trailer, and I'm filling up with gas, Howdy, and diesel, and a friend of mine there, Brad, he says, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, we're moving." And he said, "Ain't God." I said, "I don't care." He said, "Okay." Well, later I cared, because it wasn't God, and it was miserable. And we got to yield to those things, and we get these things come up in our lives, and we think, "Well, I want to do it my way." And God, we got to back off and say, "God chose me and appointed me. And if he chose me and appointed me, then he has furnished me with everything I need to do what he's got for me to do." And I heard it put this way the other day by Strand Smith. You know, we get in places we don't want to be. And Strand said the Lord really showed him. He said, "Learn to be content where you are, but don't be satisfied." And I thought, wow, that is really, really good. You know, if we can be content and say, "God, if this is where I'll stay here forever," then satisfaction's coming, because he's going to direct our steps. He's going to keep moving us up. But when we're not content, I tell you what, we're going to be stuck. Because we have to learn to be content and say, "Okay, I am yours to command. It's not about me, Lord. It is about you. It's about others out there that in my area of influence that you've connected me with, that I'm to be a part of their lives at this time, however you see fit. And I must be willing and obedient to do that. Because if I'm not willing and obedient to do it, I'm not enjoying what I'm doing." Anybody been there? You're like, "Oh, Lord, could we just move on?" No. Not yet. We're not finished here. When are we going to get done? These people aren't listening. I've been praying for these politicians. I want to say something else, but when are we going to get done here? When I see fit. When God's plans and purpose. He said he chose us, he appointed us, he anointed us. So we're well able to stay there and endure and to be where God would have us to be. And you know what? It doesn't be miserable if we submit. It requires submission under the will of God to not be miserable in a situation that we don't want to be in. But when we can be in that situation and be at peace, then we've submitted unto God and we're coming out. We're going on because we're willing and obedient, and the willing and obedient will eat the good of the land. And not only that, because we're willing and obedient, God can trust us with the next place he has for us to be. For the next thing he has for us to do, because we're listening to him. Kathy, she'll tell you, "I ain't listened real good, Angela, over the years sometimes. I bow up pretty good. It's kind of like I don't just got mud in my ears. I got big plugs of it in there." Not only that, it's just like, well, it ain't God. I don't care. God's wrong this time. No, he's not. They didn't tell me that. But I they knew me well enough to know it's not going to do any good to tell him that. So just let him go through it. You know, God's going to do the same thing. I can just see God laugh and say, Russ, why would you want to be that way? Oh, the things it takes, the length of time it takes to figure some of this out. Turn to 1 Peter 2:9. Another description of us. Chosen and appointed by God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Oh, this is too cool. This is us. Right now, at this time. But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His, God's own special people, that we may proclaim the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Ain't that cool? We are a chosen people. Some days you feel like you were chosen for the wrong thing, don't you? Not so. Submission and obedience gives us eyes to see and a heart to understand. As God opens eyes of our understanding to that, when we become willing and obedient to be where He's got for us to be, and we submit, we realize that we are a chosen generation, a holy nation. We're God's own special people, and we not only are, we are part of a holy nation. This is a holy nation. It was put together by God, and now all we got to do is take it back. Amen. And so, in our area of influence, all these people that are have tried to pervert it and are out there trying to pervert it, we got to take a stand. We got to let our voices be heard. And there's ways to go about it. Each one of us, we have divine connections. And within those divine connections, we have influence. People listen to us. People are paying attention to us. As Corey said, you know, he doesn't tell anyone he's a preacher. They ought to be able to recognize that he's living his life according to the Word of God. And if they're not recognizing that in us, we're doing something wrong. We need to be demonstrating the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. Are y'all with me? Are y'all okay? But know that, you know, that right there, y'all declare that over yourself every day for the next week, really every day, period. But a good start be this week. I'm a chosen part of a chosen generation. A royal priesthood. I am God's favorite, own special person. That I may proclaim, His own special people, that I may proclaim the praises of Him who's called me out of darkness into His marvelous light. And I'm to help Him call others out of darkness into the marvelous light of God. There is a reward for those that diligently seek Him. There's peace. There's satisfaction. It just grows. You know, it just grows. You get there. Okay, I'm leading up to something that's really the song. Turn to Isaiah chapter 60. What we just a special, you know, come forth. But think about this. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 through 3. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness covers the earth, and deep darkness the people. But Lord, you've arisen over us. Your glory is being seen upon us. The Gentiles come to our light, and kings to the brightness of our rising. Sometimes, you don't have to tell me, but sometimes I bet the glory is not really being seen upon you. Because some days, I would have to say the glory is not really being seen upon me. But He told me right here, He said, arise and shine, for my glory is risen upon you. And the Gentiles are coming to that light. In other words, the lost are going to come to that light. When we operate and we function in our area of influence, in willingness and obedience and submission, and in the Word, and being a doer of the Word of God, it just draws, people see the light. There's a glory. The glory shines. People come to the glory. Light dispels darkness. And I am so, Howdy, I just love you. Where you're at, how many other teachers Raise your hands if you're another, any more teachers. Okay, listen. I talk to Howdy because I know him the best. But just, you know, where he's at, and that air of influence that God's placed you in at this time, just the glory, you know, I know how Heidi lives his life. And so when he's in those situations and circumstances, even when you don't realize it, it's radiating off of you. And people, there's kids that, Kenny will testify to this too, back in, when we, me and him and Kathy were doing the ministry of the Region 6 rodeos, and Kenny come a long ways to do music for us. And it was a kind of tough region, huh, Kenny, a little bit? Because the first Sunday Kenny does music, he looks at me after church and he said, "That's the hardest bunch of people I ever tried to sing to in my life." And so I went home. I said, "Dave, it was pretty tough." I said, went home, me and Kathy, we prayed, and like, "Lord, what do we do?" So he told us to have him make that confession in Ephesians 1. And the next service, the next month at the high school rodeo, well, we have all the kids. They joined in too. They made it. They did. They declared it. And you know what? That morning, music flowed, ministry flowed, and from then on, them kids got into it. You know, they weren't just spectators. They got to be a part, and they became a part of the service. And before the years out, I ministered one Sunday on the words of your mouth. But I told the kids when it was over that day, I said, "Now this week, you hold mom and dad accountable for their words." The next month, all the moms and dads are like, "Okay, Rusty, please know the kids are listening to you, because for the last month, everything we say." You know what? Sometimes we're going so fast, we don't see the results that are taking place. But if we are declaring that over the people in our area of influence, it's happening. God's word never returns void. And we think, it's just nothing's taking place. No, do not ever let the, you know, as Corey said, if you can't speak the word of God, shut up. If you can't declare, your word's not returning void. Just be quiet. If you have that temptation to say, "Them people, they can't hear squat. They don't pay attention." Don't go there. Don't go there. We're leading up to something that we'll get. It's going to get there, okay? Isaiah 61 says, you know, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord's anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He sent us to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And you can go on down through there. But we need to declare that over us and remind ourselves daily that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon us. Even when we don't feel like it's upon us, we need to submit to it. Say, "What do you got for me today, Lord? Lord, thank you that your Spirit's upon me, because you've put me here to preach the gospel, to set the captives free." I'm telling you. So Howdy's up there, and he has, I don't know if this is the right one to use, but we're going to use it anyway. Whoops. Uh-oh. That's furries. I don't know if that's still a fad. Is that still kind of going on? We seen a deal in the news the other night, or on Flashpoint, or one of them deals where they're interviewing one of them in one of them suits. But you know what? That's just a name. Furry is just a name that someone's taken on that is highly confused and deceived. And as Howdy continues to just speak, the eyes of their understanding be open. One of these days, I hope you get to see it. But somebody's going to see them shuck that off and say, "I can't believe I was this deceived and messed up." And their parents are going to come thank you. And maybe the principal that put the litter box in the bathroom, maybe he will too. That's terrible. That's disgusting. You know, it's crazy, that kind of stuff. But what we got to understand is that those are those principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world that we have been given dominion over, and we got to help break them off the people. So go to Colossians chapter 2. I got to get there too. Colossians chapter 2 and we're going to go to verse 15. We're going to go there in just a minute.
The rain outside. Thinking about the barbecue. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Let me see that, please. How do you turn this off? There. Leave it off. Having disarmed the principalities and the powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world, Jesus made a public spectacle of them. He triumphed over them. Immediately, the other day, and it wasn't with Ricky. I just asked Ricky to do that for me this morning. I was trying to come up with some good illustrations. We need visuals sometimes for it to go through our minds. Me, I got to get a picture of some, you know. But it's like Jesus disarmed, just like I took the microphone and turned it off. Jesus disarmed the principalities and the powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. He made a public spectacle of them and he triumphed over them. Who comes after us? The principalities and the powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. But we need to understand they have been disarmed. They have no weapons to use against us. All they can do, the only weapon they have is those thoughts and those words that they keep speaking that we take in and then we act on those thoughts or words. That gives them permission. It opens the door for distractions. God, Jesus already disarmed them. He made a public spectacle. We have been given authority over them. Go to Matthew 28. Praise God for the rain. Y'all need more rain? Matthew 28. The other day, I don't even remember what I was doing, and the Lord just began to remind me. He says, I've already disarmed them. They don't have any authority in your life unless you give it to them, and you give it to them through the words of your mouth by taking, not bringing every thought. 2 Corinthians 10:5, 4 and 5. Bring every thought into captivity under the obedience of Christ and cast down those imaginations that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, people, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And then quickly to Luke 10:19. Jesus, all authority been given unto him. And then he told us in 10:19, behold, I give you. No, but back up to verse 18. Jesus said to him, speaking to the disciples, he said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. He's under our feet. Verse 19, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Isn't that good? Now, I don't know about y'all, but I'll tell on me stuff on, but you know, you're going through the day and you're focused and you're staying right on track and boy, you're just being a doer of the word. And something comes in that's like the enemy knows exactly what'll get under your skin at that moment. And the words that come out of my mouth, I'm not going to repeat them. Y'all don't need any new words. We all got them. But we get distracted. It's one of them distractions, you know. And he's been showing me. I'm beginning to pay attention and listen a little better, Betsy. Maybe that's the best way to put it. Is it's like Alyssa tells, or Kathy tells Alyssa Alyssa tells me that Kathy's been bragging on me this morning about something, and I said, well, that's good. And she said, well, she's just complimenting how you have been handling the situation, and I'm like, be content, but don't be satisfied. But as I begin to realize that in that contentment comes peace. And in that peace comes clarity of thought. And in that clarity of thought produces effectiveness in our area of influence. Without trying real hard to be effective. Do y'all understand what I'm saying there? You know, when we just submit, when we say, okay, God, I'm good with it. Now, Lord, just so you know, I'm not really satisfied with it. I'm not reminding him of that. But I'm good with it. And I can do it. And I can stay here. And I can do this or I can do that. Or, you know, it's like I can go, you know, some people that you just don't want to talk to today. The phone keeps ringing and they keep calling. And you're like, I don't want to talk to them. And the Lord's finally, he impressed upon you. You know what? You're here for them as much as you are for yourself right now, because you're here. They're part of your area of influence. And within that area of influence, there's certain people that we're a blessing to just because we're who we are. Who we're being, who God created us to be. And in that area, we begin to do that. And so that gives us permission to speak into their lives. When we're willing and obedient and submissive to the Lord, we get permission to speak into their lives and help them bring them out of darkness into light in areas that they're dealing with. Maybe it's a believer, maybe it's an unbeliever. If it's an unbeliever, we're beginning to develop a rapport and a relationship with to where they recognize they're seeing the light, they're seeing the glory that's risen upon us, but the Lord's wanting us to use that to bring them out of darkness into light. And when they begin to do that, then we get to disciple them, as Jesus said. You're going to become fishers of men. You're going to, you know, as it back into the tithes and offerings deal, into Luke. When we launch, you know, we can launch out into the deep with our tithes and offerings. We can launch out into the deep in our area of influence and get in there. Get involved. You know, it starts with prayer. It starts with interceding on behalf of them. On behalf of our nation, on behalf of people that me and Brian don't like to intercede for. We think they're past intercession. It's time to do something else with them. But it's to our benefit to pray for these corrupt people that are in office, because some of them are actually gifted people. I don't believe all of them are. Some of them are in there totally... I don't know what you call it. They're in there. They're thieves. You know, just like we have an imposter that's supposed to be abiding in the highest house in the nation. Total imposter. He would make a pimple on a president's hiney. And he don't know what he's doing. He's being manipulated and controlled by other people. But we still need to be praying for these people, because it's our responsibility. As we pray, then God opens our eyes and we help others in our influence know how important it is to vote, because we control that. That's how we hire and fire people here in the United States. We vote them in or we vote them out. If we don't vote, we are part of the problem. We just got to help get it across to the people in our area of influence. Take part. I know sometimes it is the lesser of two evils in some races and some things. But we also, I really think, if when the church prays and the church understands that God appoints Cyrus leaders, they're not always born again and saved to start with. But God appointed them because they have what it takes to get the job done, and he knows they'll listen to him. Or they'll listen to the people that he puts in their lives. So If we would run our voting choices on biblical principles and values and views, we will not be voting wrong, and we will be doing what God told us to do. He said, you occupy till I come. You do business. That's part of doing business. And if we refuse to do business, then we don't. It's just, to me, it's just like a man that refuses to work. He ought not eat. He ought to starve to death. That's my opinion. But we got to take part, because Jesus has already disarmed the principalities of power. We must enforce their disarmament. That's why he said, I give you, in the name of Jesus, I give you the power. What you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and what you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. We ought to be doing a lot of binding and loosing, because that's how we enforce the disarmament of those principalities and powers that Jesus made a public spectacle of and triumphed over. We cannot stay so caught up in our, you know, again, I think it comes back to the content but not satisfied statement, because when we get content, that produces peace. And when that peace produces that ears to hear, and we just progress from there to where we're filling our spot, just it becomes natural, supernatural, natural on our lives. The supernatural of God has intervened and come upon us to where this glory is truly being seen upon us, because we're willing and obedient. And we go from there to do what God told us to do. Are y'all okay? Y'all are kind of quiet. I don't know if I've... we won't worry about it. Look at Psalms 83. I've reminded y'all this before, but I do. I pray this over President Trump and Prime Minister Netanyahu, and the rest of our godly men and women that are in positions of authority and leadership. And we as a body of Christ, this is a prayer to frustrate conspiracy against Israel. Well, listen, it's not just Israel now, it's Israel and the United States. Because all of your, Hamas is just another one of them names, just a name, and it's under the feet of Jesus. And God said, I'll bless those that bless Israel. Y'all know that, okay? In Psalms 83, here's what we need. He says, do not keep silent, O God, and do not hold your peace, and do not be still, O God, for behold, your enemies make an uproar, and those who hate you have lifted up their head. They take crafty counsel together against your people. They consult together against your sheltered ones. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel be remembered no more. For they consult together with one consent and form a confederacy against you. And I skip down to verse 13. Oh my God, make them like the whirling dust, like the chaff before the wind. And as the fire burns the woods and as the flame sets the mountains on fire, so pursue them with your tempest and frighten them with your storm. Fill their faces with shame that they may seek your name, O Lord. Let them be confounded and dismayed forever. And let them be put to shame and perish, that they may know that you, whose name alone is the Lord, are the Most High over all the earth. I love to pray that for over the United States and Israel every day. And I say, Lord, don't let us, the church, be silent. Man, let us, if you're not holding your peace, Lord, we're not going to hold ours either. We're going to step up. You know, and that's what I say with the contentment of where we are in our area of influence, the glory of the Lord rise upon us. The Gentiles come to that light, to the glory, and we have an opportunity to speak into people's lives that's been God ordained. And we need to realize that God's already disarmed that stuff out there that's causing people to have all these identity crises. I'll try not to use all the names today. But whatever the cause of their confusion, it's darkness. They are living in darkness, and we're the light. And so what we do is live out our lives according to the Word of God in a manner that demonstrates His goodness, and it's bringing them from darkness to light. And then, and when we start where we are, it goes from the people there, that, because some of them might be on the school board or the city council. Some of them might have a friend that's on the school board or the city council that has stepped up to wherever, where Mike's at, into some of the different offices, as county commissioners and such as that. But God recognizes then that because we are willing and obedient, He can trust us, and He will allow us to speak things that at the right time, at the right place, that opens their eyes of understanding. Pray in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16 through 18, 19, 20 through there. Lord, please open eyes of their understanding so they may be enlightened, so they may know. You know, they've got a calling. We got a calling. And part of that is just in our area of influence, it equals the rescuing of our schools and things for our children. You know, I will not yield any ground to the devil. You know, we got to make up our minds. We know Jesus disarmed the principalities and powers. So, Lord, please set a guard before my mouth. Help me keep watch over the door of my lips so that the words I speak produce the results you desire. And don't get upset with yourself when you fail. We're all going to make a mistake. Y'all know, it just happens. Just repent and go on. I take authority over that word. I render that word harmless and ineffective against me or whoever in the name of Jesus. And then speak words of faith and speak words of victory back in there. Speak the desired results back in there. Corey calls it, if you can't speak the word of God, shut up. I'm a little more cool. I say, just practice the ministry of silence. You know. He's probably not listening this morning. What time is it? You think maybe he is, Ricky? I don't know. Are y'all okay with all of that right there? I want to read something to you, but out of the Founder's Bible, guys, the next 6 months, I just feel like us being who we are in our area of influence is going to have a great effect on our nation come November this year. We fill our spot. Don't get frustrated. We got some really perverted individuals in office. Mike showed you some pictures of some really perverted stuff that took place yesterday at the Capitol and in his office. And it's sickening, you know. But God said, I've already disarmed those principalities and powers. All y'all got to do as a church is exercise your authority over them. As you begin, and it's going to take some work now because we've already let them get a foothold. But as we begin to be who God called us to be and do what God called us to do, you know, He told us in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, you know, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. I'm looking forward to it. I want to see the land healed. We're going to see the gospel preached in a bigger way. We're going to see schools come back into line. We're going to see things take place. And I know I'm not supposed to take pleasure in this, but we're going to see a lot of prosecution of some very wicked people. However God sees fit, I'm going to leave that in His hands, but I'm excited that they are going to experience the consequences of their actions. You know, even, you know, people, let's just read something else. this was just in the Founder's Bible. This was George Washington. And I just want to read it to you because I just really felt it was really fit the whole deal today. And the songs today, they just, to me, they fit with what we're talking about here. You know, okay. Simultaneous to the Continental Congress meeting in Philadelphia to declare independence on July 2nd, 1776, George Washington was gathering his troops on Long Island to meet the British in battle in and around New York City. He wrote these memorable words in the general orders to his men that day. And I think this applies to us in the church today. The time is now near at hand which must probably determine whether Americans are to be free men or slaves, whether they are to have any property they can call their own, whether their houses and farms are to be pillaged and destroyed and they consigned to the state of wretchedness from which no human efforts will probably deliver them. The fate of unborn millions will now depend under God on the courage and conduct of this army, that army being the church. Our cruel, that was, he was talking to his troops. Our cruel and unrelenting enemy leaves us no choice but a brave resistance or the most abject submission. This is all we can expect. We have therefore to resolve to conquer or die. Our own country's honor, all call upon us for a vigorous and manly exertion. If we now shamefully fail, we shall become infamous to the whole world. Let us therefore rely upon the goodness of the cause and the aid of the supreme being in whose hands victory is, to animate and encourage us to great and noble actions. The eyes of all our countrymen are now upon us, and we shall have their blessing and praises if happily we are the instruments of saving them from the tyranny meditated against them. Let us therefore animate and encourage each other and show the whole world that a free man contending for liberty on his own ground is superior to any slavish mercenary on earth. I think that fits the church today. We're the army of God. And we're who he's called to be, light in darkness. And so if we'll just understand and realize that Jesus disarmed the principalities and powers, he's just asking us to keep that disarmament enforced. We do it in prayer, submission, being content, not satisfied to just fill our spot and be who God called us to be. And when we can't speak the word, just shut up. And with that, I thank y'all so much for listening to me today. But I want to tell you what, you can't, you know, as the body of Christ, it takes knowing Jesus to fulfill this destiny, because each one of us have been called to a destiny, and God knew us before he formed us in our mother's womb. But if we've never called on the name of Jesus, you know, we were all born with a sin nature. We came in this world and we had a sin nature, and all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But Romans 10:9-10 says that if we believe in our heart, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, and we ask him to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, he's faithful to do so. And when we make that decision to say, hey, Lord, I want your plan for my life. I want the plans you created for me before the foundations of the world. So I'm accepting you, Lord Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. I'm wanting you to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior and put me on the path that you created me to be in, because that's where I understand contentment and satisfaction is. And so if that's you today and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, we want to give you an opportunity to do so. We never end a service without that opportunity. And we want you to have the opportunity to make Jesus the Lord of your life. And all of us in here are going to pray the prayer together. And so if you've never prayed that prayer, if you've never asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, please pray this prayer with us today and ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life. With every head bowed and every eye closed, let's pray. Father God, thank you today for Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for opening my eyes to see that I need Jesus, that I need my spirit born again. So I'm asking you right now, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, forgive me of my sins, cleanse me from all unrighteousness, and become my Lord and Savior. I yield myself to you. And as I do, I realize that my life's now yours, and you're helping me to walk out and fulfill my destiny as a born-again child of the Most High God. Thank you, Jesus. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if today was the day that you made Jesus the Lord of your life, I won't embarrass you, but I only want to get you a Bible. So I'm going to count to three. Nobody's looking. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If today's the day you made Jesus the Lord of your life, I'm going to count to three. I'm going to ask you to just raise your hand right fast and let us know so we can get a Bible to you. Ready? One, two, three. Anybody? Okay, was there anybody? Did I miss somebody? Okay, y'all look up. Father, I mean, y'all, thanks so much. You know, I know if you're a visitor today, I get a little excited about our nation. And my wife tells me that some of the words and expressions that come out of my mouth could be done a little differently. But we got the point across. And we all, listen, y'all are so much fun, because everybody in here is so excited about filling your, you're all excited about filling your spot. Today was one of them days where the Lord said, just remind people, I've defeated and disarmed those principalities and powers. I fully equipped each one of us. He has fully equipped each one of us to enforce that disarmament. So as you go about this week, just remember that. And when we get in little traps and stuff, you know, we get busy or caught up, you know, it happens. You say, Lord, stop. I'm sorry. I'm going to be content right here. I'm going to be satisfied. I'm going to not be satisfied, but I'm going to be content. And where you got me, and I'm going to do what you got for me to do. Thank you, guys.